Hey there, podcasters. Thank you so much for downloading our little podcast from Italy. I am Jason, joined by my wife, Ashley, and today is the 16th of January, 2016, 9 a.m., smack dab in the morning, fire lit, a little bit of snow on the ground. Good morning, my love.
Good morning. Ciao tutti. It is... Yes, it was kind of, again, unexpected. The last two snows we've had, they have missed that on the forecast. and woke up to a little snow. It was quite lovely. The air has changed. It's been warm.
It's been warm. We've had winds out of the south, warm African air, and it's flip-flopped, and now we have them coming out of the north.
What's that little airspeed thing called? The little thing outside on your weather station?
I don't know.
The weather vane is going the other direction, and it never does.
There you go.
Oh, God, I did it. I'm sorry. I'm trying. Jason's had some conversations with me, first about holding the mic steady, which I finally have been trying to do. But now I hold it too steady, and when I have my big booming laughs, I overmodulate, and I blow your ears out. Sorry, guys. I will try to laugh a lot.
I wrote the time down. I'll fix it. These microphones are good, but if you talk away, like, see right now I'm talking, I just move my mouth to the side of it, and you don't hear it very well at all, so.
And I have a problem with talking with my hands and getting excited and moving, or zoning out and moving my head over somewhere else, and I finally got a hold of the mic at the right spot, but.
We digress.
Yes.
Saturday morning, sunny as crap outside. We have a lot to talk about, so let's jump right into it.
All right. Well, a week ago today, we woke up in sunny and warm, beautiful Barcelona.
That's right.
I had a great opportunity to work with the Mercer Hotel and put together some social media and some great little video clips to highlight their new hashtag Mercer style. And we had a gorgeous little weekend getaway. It was really nice. Normally we stay north of, if you kind of are thinking of Barcelona in the map and looking at La Ramblas, like the totally insane touristy street. And then you have, just above that, you have Plaza Catalunya. And then you keep going up and you get towards, Exemplia, I think was the name. I was trying to practice it the other day.
Keep in mind, our podcast is really not, if you're looking for a factual, like, people research it out and know exactly what they're, yeah, keep
no,
going.
No, that's not us. But we stayed this time in the Gothic Quarter, and it was much closer to Barceloneta and El Born and the more kind of southern, north of the city, north of La Ramblas, if you're looking at the map.
Yeah, I think so.
Really nice little neighborhood. It was really fun. Because I am spastic, within 20 minutes of landing, or I should say of getting out of the cab, we're like, oh my gosh, this is so nice. And it was snowing when we left, and it was so warm out. It was like 16 degrees at 10 o'clock at night. We're walking around thinking, man, we just didn't even pack right. It is so much warmer than we expected. This is great. We have two nights and we can walk around and do all this stuff. And I trip and fall walking across a intersection and basically refracture my big toe, which is awesome. So that totally sucked and I could barely hovel around. So we spent a lot of time at the hotel, which was great. And I was, like I said, able to take a bunch of photos and videos, and you can check those out on, our blog, nhmblog.com, or on, YouTube at, No Half Measures Films, or on Vimeo through my page, Ashley Bartner. And, I've been posting some of them on Instagram as well, but it was a gorgeous hotel. Didn't you think so, Jay?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like, I've been talking a lot, so I thought I'd bring you in on this.
No, it was really real. I was just going to let you know, it was really nice.
The rooms were huge.
My brother was most impressed that everything in the mini bar was free.
Yes.
We were talking to him and we're like, everything. He was like, what about the mini bar? I was like, actually, yeah. He was very.
The little luxuries. You know what you loved, I think, so much? Breakfast.
Breakfast was really nice downstairs.
Well, Jason mentioned that it was a chef that cared because the poached eggs were perfect. I loved it. And you got to read the paper in English, which was a little luxury.
It was really, really nice.
And then we got to try their tasting menu for their new lunch menu, as well as their we got to try their entire new dinner menu, which was really spectacular and hysterical because all the staff was like, who are you guys? Why are you trying this menu when no one else has? And we thought, wow, we felt pretty cool. But it was gorgeous.
It was really good. Some of the highlights. He made a ball of foie gras with coconut on the outside and bitter chocolate on the inside, which was really nice.
That was beautiful. That was how we started dinner.
The fatty foie gras and the bittery chocolate were great. The only thing I would recommend is a little bit of salt.
I agree. A little rock salt on there would have been so nice.
Then he did in a little box of toasted sunflower seeds, he did crispy salt cod or bacala skin.
This was so good.
It was really good. I've never even thought about doing
the presentation
like
was so cool. Like, they bring you the little box and shake it, and then kind of up comes the pieces of the skin.
Well, it's ingenious because it's really hard to keep. Once it leaves the fat and hits the air, there's moisture in the air, and it'll make it slightly soft. But since he puts it in the hot sunflower seeds and takes it to the sunflower seeds are sucking off the moisture. It's ingenious.
It is. The other thing that was ingenious that you loved was the, again, bacala, but with the kind of tart green apple puree or sauce.
Yeah, a beautiful piece of tempura, not a thick tempura, very fine,
very light
skin of tempura.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you do the fiore di zucca.
Yeah, very similar to that batter, super super thin, and to just give it a little crunch. And then it was in a green tart apple sauce, which I've never thought about pairing green apples and salty bacala,
but
it's
so nice.
Good.
It was really, really bright. It was beautiful. And oh my gosh, for me, the standout was the tobacco gelato.
Tobacco gelato with,
oh my gosh,
with salted caramel
and a chocolate crumble on the bottom. This was amazing. At first I thought, interesting, a chocolate or a tobacco gelato, and everything was paired with a beautiful different white wine from the region, and really nicely done. And this was paired with a port, a really smoky port, and it was perfect. And oh, that tobacco, it was
made with an extract of tobacco, so it's not like they grind up tobacco leaves.
No, but tell them the sensation, because this is what was so
addictive. First, you didn't really taste it, and then it's like when you, if you ever take a drag of a cigar, a puff of a cigar, it gets you, it kind of burns the back of your in the back of your mouth and the back of your throat. Not
burning, but tingle.
Tingle and warms. Mm-hmm. And it just, you're like, oh my God. And then with the salty caramel, it was
working.
Really nice.
It was working.
Never had anything like it.
I felt like I had a cigar at the end of the meal. And the chefs are all Italian. And it made me think of, very Italian also, of the grandma at the end of the meal having a cigarette at the end of the table or in the back of the kitchen. And it just, it brought up so many senses. It was really, really nice.
We got to feel like big shots for 48 hours.
We did, but I hope they, and it was really fun making these videos, like I said. So I hope you guys go and check them out. I still have another one or two to post as well.
But why Barcelona? We travel to Barcelona a few times a year for a few reasons. One, there is always a direct super cheap flight from either Ancona or Florence or Bologna near us directly to Barcelona. Number two, great food.
Great food.
Good weather.
Mm-hmm.
Good people.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a city now that we have come to know. So we can, like, this was great to explore a different neighborhood. And when we land, we kind of land rolling in the sense of, we know where we're going, we know what we want to do, we've eaten at all a bunch of the restaurants we want to, so now we can have some other experiences. And it was great. Oh, something else I wanted to mention before I forget. Yes, this was a beautiful luxury hotel, but something that's really cool is that it is also a very sustainable hotel. They do the shopping for the restaurant at the local markets, at La Boqueria. Then they have a beautiful little herb garden on their rooftop terrace, which I just loved, with all of the lavender and rosemary and oregano and all of that. Plus the owner, I love this the most. He has a garden just outside of the city. He has a villa and he has a beautiful garden. And so he helps grow a bunch of the produce that is then used in the kitchen. And I think that is such a untold story that it's really cool.
How about that? Also, the hotel's built into the Roman ruins.
That is awesome also. So Barcelona used to be a Roman settlement, fortification, and it was their old Rome. Old Barcelona was surrounded by a wall with 76 towers. And this hotel is located in the 23rd or 28th, now I can't remember, tower. And what is really cool is the bar and the restaurant is located in the old wall that connected the towers. And that is just so awesome. Let me see here. Did I write it down? I think I did. Shoot.
But no, the history was cool
28.
Too.
28. They're number 28.
And when you walk through the Gothic Quarter, you can see they've taken a lot of the store, some of the shop fronts that had ruins in it. I think the municipality took it over and they made it into like a little museum kind of.
Or just like a glass window and you can see in through what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
a little preservation.
Yeah. Really cool. So Barcelona, check it out. If you're ever stopping in Europe, we love Barcelona.
And you can stay there for a night or two and then rent a car or take a train and go all over Spain, France, Portugal. Beautiful. Highly recommend it.
But getting there was, we'll tell you a quick story about getting there, which was an adventure all to them.
Oh my gosh. So I got a little nervous realizing, oh shit, right before our trip, well, not right before, in December, I sent my passport to the consulate in Rome to be renewed. And it said 4 weeks. And if you do the math, I should have had it when we were leaving. But Jason was like, are you insane? Why are you doing the math? This is, first off, Italy. Second of all, during the holidays. There's no math you can do that's going to tell you when your thing is going to arrive. So I made a copy of my passport, or I printed out a copy that I had. And I have my Italian driver's license, which is a EU driver's license. I have my permesso di soggiorno, my permission to stay, which is valid. And I have my residency card, which looks super fake, but is real. And I thought, well, I'm armed with 3 Italian documents and my copy. Let's see what I got. And we go to leave and I'm starting to get a little nervous. And Jason's like, just relax. We're in Italy. Are you kidding me? And I give her my driver's license and she says, do you have anything else? And I said, yeah, here's my residency. And she sees that and it says I'm from America. And so she's like, well, do you have your passport? And I said, no, it's in Rome. And she said, wait over here, call someone down. They look at everything and they go, you're an American citizen. They didn't ever look at my copy of my passport. And I said, yes. And they said, all right, just don't do this again. And it was like, oh my God, Jason was cracking up. And then they figured, well, I'm Spain's problem. Leaving Spain, I thought, well, we might have to rent a car or take a ferry across. Who knows? Will they be as lax as Italy? Oh, even easier. Showed her my driver's license. She didn't even take it out of my hand. Never had to show really much of anything going through security. And voila, American citizen traveling through 2 European countries without a passport. It was possible.
Kind of.
I guess if you profile.
You have a lot of documents that prove you live here.
True. But I was still kind of surprised. I don't think that would have happened in the States.
No.
Would have been a little more cut and dry.
Yes. Yes. We are more about the letter than the spirit, mm-hmm. I would have to say, especially dealing with that kind of stuff. They love to pull the power move. The lady in Italy was like, yeah, it's the last flight of the day.
Exactly.
Get on the
plane. It's way more just like, don't cause any.
Don't make me fill out papers.
Exactly. I know. I thought I'm probably going to have to fill something out. And then it was like, nope, just
get on the plane.
Oh my gosh.
So what have we been doing since we returned? The property search continues. We are still looking for the next home of La Tavola Marche, which is our agriturismo and cooking school that will be in the good hand, safe hands of some new owners that we'll get ready. We're going to do all this stuff eventually. We're just not ready to do the whole announcement and all that kind of stuff.
Correct? We got a big rollout.
Big rollout. Big plans.
Exciting.
But we keep looking at houses, and it's really funny because what's our favorite phrase now?
Oh, si può fare.
Si può fare. If you can make it, you can make it.
You could do this. You could do that. Oh, you could put a pool in the kitchen.
So we go to these places, which all of them sit on gorgeous pieces of property. That's not what we're talking about. It's rolling hills, lush green, you know, mountain hillsides, blah, the whole nine. The houses on the other hand are in various states of from absolutely just restored to, oh my God, the 70s. Puked everywhere in this whole house.
They are calling this livable, but it is barely where it's still super stone, like very wet, like it could go run the gamut.
But the best part, the crappier and the more the more work a house needs, the more the owner will use the phrase "si può fare." You can make it.
So even before we arrive at these houses, we try to we talk tough in the car, and we're like, okay, if we're not interested, you can tell on the outside. Let's not waste their time. Let's not waste our time. Let's just say thanks so much and keep on moving. And oh my God, the hard thing is sticking to that, because you show up and you go, oh my God, this house is definitely not. It's not it. You just know. But the owner is so jovial. He's so hopeful. He's started a fire. He's making you eat panettone.
Again.
And then you have to see every freaking room, hear all the si può fare. And it's like, oh my God, 45 minutes later. Then it's like, let's walk the garden and the land. And like Jason said, it's freaking spectacular. We were just walking through these vines that were so beautiful, and the view surrounding it. It's like, oh my God, what you could do. But yeah, si può fare. You'd have to si può fare nuova casa. You could make a whole new freaking house.
So the best one we've had was basically a barn that looked like it was a 2-story barn with no walls, just the roof, like a corrugated roof, and
it's the kind of barn you'd see straight out of the South in America, straight out of some abandoned place out here in Italy, where, yeah, it's just put together with like
old wood
of just scrap.
Yeah.
Scraps of everything.
It was 2 stories, and I wouldn't walk into this thing if you paid me. It looked like it was a stiff breeze will blow this thing over in 2 seconds. And we go over to look at it, and the owner, si può fare, you can make 4 or 5 apartments here, a living space for you, or a huge kitchen. And it's like, yeah, I guess you could also make the Taj Mahal. And
it was so unbelievable. I just thought, is he really saying that? Like, what? That was the most unbelievable, for sure.
So it continues. This is how it's going to have to be. And it'll be 100 of these. And then the one that
we'll
find it.
Yes, we will. So it's exciting, though. It's really fun, and I think it will give a whole breath of fresh air to the new chapter for La Tavola Marche.
Absolutely, but still vent a little bit. How much? How long does it, like, the other yet last night?
Oh my God! So yesterday I got a phone call
from
an estate agent, and he says he just jumps right in. He goes, "Yes, you sent an email regarding property number 151. I was like, what? I said, where? You're calling from Urbino? Who is this? And I was just like, no pretext. He goes, yes, yes. You sent an email before the holidays regarding property 151, and we've just returned. And I thought, oh, that's a nice holiday. And so he's just now getting back to me about this property. And I was like, can you just send me an email so I even know which property you're talking about? Haven't received an email. So it is hysterical. Marco, the wonderful Marco of Marco's Way, who does fantastic wine tours out here. He has been helping us tremendously with some of his local connections in the Senigallia Ostrayesi area. So it's been fun to expand our search down there and having a local in as well. Because sometimes we went to one property and they didn't want to talk to us. And then Marco said his name and his last name, and they said, oh, I know your uncle. All right. Come on in. So in Italy, you need an inside man.
It's still way easier when you have, obviously, but just some of these things aren't even on the online, or you know, they don't really have estate agents.
No, I was thinking about like when you're driving around in the States, you see for sale signs. Like that doesn't exist here. That would be so much fun if it did, to see places.
Well,
like
you'll see like homemade ones that'll say,
but barely.
Yeah, that's not. It's
so
not
like,
really
oh,
like
and
that.
Then here's a sheetlet of information.
No.
Or
you can't even get the estate agents to call you back. You wanted to have information at the house and a sign. Come
that's
on.
Ridiculous.
That is crazy. That you might screw up and sell one.
Well, speaking of crazy Italian things. I'm sure you guys, if you're listening to this podcast, you have probably heard the Italian olive oil mafiosa scandal that was broke on 2020, like 2 weeks ago. And the big news was that 75 to 85% of what is sold in America as extra virgin olive oil ain't.
And I guess this is, did not make the news in Italy, because I think this is like a no shit kind of thing.
Totally, it's a no shit. But it's just, they're like, oh, wow, someone's finally talking about it there. How did they not expect it? It's just kind of hysterical, because we're talking like the number one brands in the States are made with like oils of seeds, like sunflower oil with a drop of chlorophyll in it to give it a different color and kind of that cloudiness.
Or very little extra virgin and maybe 10 or 20. You watched the thing on 2020. It was a pretty big deal last week. But,
yeah, you can check out the Olive Oil Times, or there's a podcast called On Olive Oil, and they have an interview with a guy named Tom Mueller, and they get real in-depth on it.
And it was really interesting, because last year we had a all over Italy this horrible season for olive trees. There was a disease that wiped out a large percentage of them, and the price and quality, the price of olive oil in Italy shot up, and the quality
almost doubled and tripled.
And the quality went way down. And we would talk about this with our guests all the time, and everyone would look at us like, nope, I don't know. The price of olive oil hasn't changed in anywhere else. And it's like, how is that possible?
That's what I keep thinking. How is that possible?
There's just not any of it. And it, how is it just the same price? Well, it's not really olive oil.
So they don't have the same price flux as we were affected with.
But some of the things when you go to get a real extra virgin olive oil is, one, you get what you pay for. It's not cheap.
No. And you can do a little research. If you've traveled and liked it, bring their information with you. Ask if they ship. Look at the back of the label, see if it has more information than just made in Italy. If it actually has a region like Puglia, something like that, like some more indicators of a farm or a frantoio where it was, the mill where it was actually made into oil is good. But we were talking to Gaggi about it, and he was saying that, in Fano, some guys who he knows, some oldies with, just a few trees, took their olives to the press, and they swapped it out on them.
Really?
Yes. So he was like, you can't trust him. It's that the olive oil price has gone up so much and everything, that even at the frantoio in Fano.
So the frantoio is the mill where you take the olives to be pressed.
Mm-hmm.
That's
but
crazy.
This year it's supposed to be better.
It's supposed to be better, but they did lose, like, there was a lot of cutting of trees to get this disease out. So, interesting. Check that out. The Godster. We mentioned the Godster. loyal listeners of the podcast will know our adopted Papa, Dr. Gaggi. And we went and did our annual sausage and salami making with him and his friend Vittorio, who's 82.
Uh-huh.
82 now. And it's something we do as tradition. These are the two guys who taught me how to make sausages. Ashley made a great video of the two of them, their characters.
You can find it. It's called, I think it's just called Two Italian, A Lesson in Salami and Sausage Making by Two Italians.
And we do this because it's tradition. I don't know. We have all the equipment ourselves now, but I don't know. It's good to go.
It's just tradition. It's nice. It's really sweet, but it's absolutely hysterical and a test in patience every year. It's like Groundhog's Day. It is the same goddamn mistakes or the same goddamn conversations or arguments every single year. That's why I've never made another real video about it, because It's the same. It's the exact same. Whether it's the weights, it's the measuring out the salt.
It's always the grind of the pepper. It's a big discussion about if it's too fine or too coarse. This year I brought it, so of course it was all wrong. Too fine. Way too fine. Salt. Constant debate about the amount of salt to add. Vittorio's been making these 50 years, if not more. We do the same thing every goddamn year. So how is there any debate? Just do the math.
We were doing, and speaking of doing the math, we were periscoping, which was super fun. And if you tuned in, thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us on Periscope at Ashley Bartner and don't miss another one of these. We did some from Barcelona as well. But so we're looking for a calculator, and Jason's like, we have people watching from all over the world. Ask one of them. I'm sure someone's got a calculator. And sure enough, someone comes up with 594. We're like, doctor, it's 594. And he's like, ah. Spends another 90 seconds, minute and a half, like looking up.
Same thing.
I know. I know it was. That was the joke. One half a dozen of the other. and finally, he's like, 594. And we're like, no shit, we told you that. So he just has, he can never trust anyone. He has to figure it out for himself. Then it comes to, I don't know, he can't fill it up at the right pace, and it's Jason's fault. Vittorio is like, get out of the way, let me do it, Jason, and they immediately do it perfect, and he's just like, get out of here. He's ornery as a sin.
Well, it's his, I've realized it's his one time a year to get to play with the sausage. We do it several times. We do cooking classes with sausage making. So,
and then Vittorio does a ton.
So it's, you know, Gaji gets to play in the sand. He gets to build sandcastles. He's not very good at making sausages. Okay, so how do we know he's not very good at making? What do I mean by that? Because when you make the sausages, you have to get the right one person cranks, or if you get really good, you can crank by yourself and do it at the same time.
But, oh, that's difficult.
One person cranks and the other person has to control the speed at which the casing comes off the little nipple. If it comes off too fast, it'll be thick in some areas and not all the way filled in other areas, or worse, there'll be pockets where there's nothing or air. Too slow, it fills it up too much and it busts it like a water balloon. But if you get it right, you can do it really quick. It's just like, you know, it just comes right. You get the pace right off and you can bang through a lot of them. Well, of course, the Godster only does it once a year, so he's not very proficient or good at it. And of course, what was the reason? Whose fault was it that the things kept busting?
Yours, because you bought the wrong casings.
I bought the casings that were not. These casings are no good. They're too small.
Oh my god!
So then I give a little feel to the water, because like a rubber balloon, if you put the casings in a little warm water and it lets them relax.
Elastic
and stretch. Well, the water is freezing cold. I go, let's switch out the water. You'll have, grabs another one, busts it.
And then he walks away mumbling about something. Vittorio walks over nonchalantly, touches the water, and then he says, too cold. And it's like, it's a comedy of errors in a silent film. It's a hysterical silent film, these two. Even if you don't understand Italian, they are so funny to watch because they're so
perfect. But if it went smoothly, there's no arguing, it would not be the same. Like, no, that's what you need.
And then we stop for lunch and we have a nice big lunch and Jason makes a sugo. And there was a lot of talk that he just bought too much pasta, way too much pasta.
So there was six of us. I made 7 eggs of pasta. Usually I make 1 egg per person, but this was the only thing we were going to eat was pasta and sugo for lunch. So I made 7 eggs for 6 people, not the end of the world.
Wow, there was a lot of discussion.
Who's going to eat all this?
Who's going to eat all this? Well, how many portions do you think you'll eat? And then Antonella, Vittorio's wife's like, oh, I couldn't possibly eat
100 grams.
Even 100 grams. And then he was like, are you crazy, woman? When we have pasta for lunch, we have 250 whatever grams. And
this was a 10-minute.
This seriously went on for quite some time. So she ends up making all the pasta.
Gone.
And it's all gone.
Italians can eat pasta, I'm telling you. They love, they eat the crap out of
this. And they love the meat that's left
over. Yeah, so I know my, one thing I do know is I always know my audience. I'm really good at that. So the older Italians love to, when you serve them the meat that you stewed in the sauce after the pasta. So I just did a capon and I did pork ribs and what else was in there?
Like, I know.
Maybe that's it. Well, anyway,
something else with some bone.
But they love it. They love to eat that after. And mm-hmm. sure enough, destroyed.
Destroyed.
Destroyed. So after lunch, we weigh it all out. We weigh it out again and divvy it all up. And it's me and Gaji together. And he insists on putting red string on all the ones that he wants. And I go, well, doctor, it doesn't matter. We'll just, after it's done drying, because it's got to go up in our plate, in our one of the apartments to dry for a month so we can then keep it all year long. Oh, no, no. These are the ones that I want. These are the
ones.
This,
again, is something that happens every year. And I just don't get it. We make them together. They all dry in the same place. They're all done at the same time.
Let's just split it up at the end.
No, he has to, again, take another 20 minutes and cherry pick his favorite links of sausages, his favorite, and then weigh it all out to make sure. And then if he's like half a kilo over what the half rate is for Jason, and he's like, let me cut that one sausage off. And we're like,
no, just don't cut it off. Just leave it, because now you made two short ones and it's harder to hang. Just leave them alone.
He makes everything difficult.
But it's awesome. I love it. Every time we do a project with him, it's a disaster, and I come away from it
so angry.
Well, not like, it's just, I love it. Like, after I take a step back it's over, I always have it's always make a great story and puts a smile on my face. In the moment, it drives me insane.
So
what I need to do, and what I did with this sausage one, is I kind of let him do his thing, because one day Godster isn't going to be here and we're not going to get to do these things together, and I'm going to really miss that. So while we have this opportunity to be together, I really wanted to enjoy it, and I did. I stepped back. If you watch me, I stepped back and let the whole thing play out. It's just like, how do we do this every – I love it. I love it.
He talks so much smack, too. It is so funny.
So coming up this week, what do we got going on? We got cold weather. Winter is finally here, so off and on snow in the forecast. We will continue. I think Tuesday we're going to – go look at more houses?
I think so.
Tuesday, we're going to go look at more houses. We might have to take a trip up to Milan for a night or two to go do some. It's really funny. I love where we live. It's beautiful, the middle of the countryside. But if you have to do any kind of thing that has to do with international business or...
It's not happening here.
anything that doesn't have to do with local and the world
I life don't in, know.
In Italy right here, you're screwed. So we have to go take a train up to Milan to go
figure
that out.
I've never been to Milan.
That is true. I've never been to Milan other than the train station.
Yeah, I've been to the train station and the airport.
And the airport. We're not.
You went to a grocery store there and I was jealous.
No, it was outside of Milan.
Yeah.
It wasn't in
Milan. Oh, okay.
It was like on the way to. It was like a suburb of Milan. It was giant.
Remember. This was like when 8 years ago.
I was dropping. So Ashley's sister stayed with us for the first 6 months that we were here. And her, 6 months later, her plane was out of Milan. So I drove her up to Milan. And on the way home, I saw this giant gross, like the like Costco size grocery store. And it was just, parking lot that looked like it was America. And it was like, oh my God, what is in there? And I had to stop. Because, it was a real shock for us at first, because there is no big grocery. There, you piecemeal everything. Now it's normal. You have your shops that you go to, and here, this is where I get my fish, and this is where I get my meat, and this is where I get my dry goods, and bread's over here, and veggies are. So now it's normal. But at the first 6 months, when I saw it, it was like a oasis. It was just like, oh. And I went, and it was packed, and they had a huge section for cheese and, like a normal giant grocery store. And it just, I was mesmerized. I don't know how we got to that.
Oh, Milan.
Milan. But yeah, other than that, after 8 or 9 years in New York, I'm not really interested in cities anymore.
It's a little saucy.
A little saucy.
I'm not so interested.
But we'll let you know when we get back. When we get back, we're going to be going there.
Yeah, we've got lots of winter travels. So even though yes, the podcast will keep coming, doing them, but there'll be a bit more about, yes, the property search, kind of the new chapter of our life in Italy with our new business, and many more travels to tell you guys about.
Yeah, a little bit away from locally what we do year in and year out, because to be quite honest, we're kind of bored with that.
Yeah. Switch it up.
Switch it up a little bit. It's not that we're not going to be doing that. We're just not going to be yapping out on a podcast.
No, but something you will be embarrassed that I'll bring up is we did watch Top Chef again. He doesn't want to watch it, but I did. And why were they using truffles so much?
Why were they using let's just...
All right, we don't have to stop.
I hate these shows.
I'll just ask the audience.
My brother loves...
And he talks it up, so then I think, oh gosh, I guess I do want to watch one more episode. Like we said, we've never watched it before, so now
that
I'm like,
woman
oh.
That annoys me, Padma.
Padma.
Yeah, is this supposed to be like that?
I did a really good...
Is it supposed to be burned like that?
I did a good impersonation.
I don't know. I'm sure a lot of you guys watch this show. I just can't. I guess it's if you're like... a mechanic and you watch like the garage show or if
probably.
You're I don't know. I just hate those shows.
No, but they were like over truffling things. That was just really weird.
Yeah.
That was weird. All right. So the song of the week is Guantanamero by Zucchero. And I picked that song because it is in two of my Instagram videos that I did for the Mercer Hotel. And why I picked that song is for those videos is it's a great Spanish fun feel, but done by an Italian, and that is the same as their new head chef. And
I don't know if it's Spanish. I don't know if it's the Guantanamero Spanish or Cuban or...
Well, it's in Spanish.
It's in Spanish. That's yes.
That's all I know. Maybe it's Mexico.
Just like anything south of San Diego is Mexico, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy your week. Thanks for tuning in. You can find us. You can find me on Instagram at Ashley Bartner. You can find us on Facebook at Ashley Bartner or No Half Measures. Or keep following La Tavola Marque. Have a great day.
Thanks, kiddos, for listening. We'll kiddos. Do it again. We'll do it again some other time. And stay tuned for the song of the week. Have a good one.
Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
I totally forgot, so I'm doing this at the end. Go Hawks! Woo!
Sincero, de donde crece la palma, yo soy un hombre sincero, de donde crece la palma, y antes de morir me quiero echar mis versos del alma. Blanca en junio como en enero cultivo una rosa blanca en junio como en enero para el amigo sincero que me da su mano franca. Eso es de un verde claro y de un carmín encendido. Mi verso es un ciervo herido que busca en el monte amparo. Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera. Guantanamera, Guajira, Guantanamera. We'll be right back.
de la palma. Yo soy un hombre sincero. ¿De dónde crece la palma?
Y antes de morir me quiero echar mis besos del alma.